Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling. Today we are talking about Season 4, Episode 7, The Barbecue. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm joined by someone who just finished feasting on the 11-month Podiversary cookie that I got him. Stuart! Stuart, how are you?
Podiversary cookie.
Mm-hmm. It's been 11 months since we started this podcast together. Did you know that?
I did not. And I didn't think that in that time that we would find something that would eclipse Bobology Island. So well done, Jess. Well done.
I am a wordsmith. What can I say? this episode, Stuart, I'm pretty sure I am correct in saying you were aghast at the reveal.
Considering that I sent you a plethora of all caps messages just screaming because I was caught off guard by it completely, didn't expect it, didn't think that I would have to contend with this level of drama turning up in this show, and when it did, I was living. I loved it so much. I was, full on. So a little explanation to the listeners. I live on my own, and I gasped so loud that I actually said sorry to no one. Because I was like proper. Yeah. It was so exaggerated. Loved it.
Love this. Everything you sent me about this episode was in all caps. Alexis, skull face emoji. Just no, it was meant for Heather. That's the worst. And then this, I like that this is in all caps because it's not anywhere near as dramatic, but he worked at a Rose video.
I thought that was quite the law drop when it happened. Little did I know that would be something a little bit spicier.
Yeah, and then fiance in all caps, bold exclamation points, question marks.
Even with the little flick over the E, I took that much effort.
You did a lot of effort. This is a big episode. We now have a timeline on David and Patrick's relationship. It has been 4 months, which makes it David's longest relationship.
Bless him. That's so sweet.
All right. Well, let's just do a recap. Let's get into it because we got a lot to talk about here. Everyone, it's going to get awkward. Okay. So just sit down, grab a super shitty looking slider and get comfortable. All right.
Patrick, they look rough.
They look horrifying, which I guess is in line with the person making them because he has no idea what he's doing, but we'll get there. Patrick and David have officially been dating for 4 months. What better way to celebrate than a giant cookie for your family to discover and poke fun at? The Roses quickly point out that this is David's longest relationship and they want to throw a barbecue and invite Patrick. It's so cute. David is extremely resistant, not wanting to celebrate monthly anniversaries or bring Patrick closer to his family, given he doesn't have the best track record with relationships. Patrick has a great time at the barbecue. That is, until Alexis's new friend, Rachel, shows up, and it is revealed that Rachel is Patrick's ex-fiance, and she is here to get him back. Speaking of Alexis, she gets a mysterious bagel-related text from Ted, which she assumes is his way of reaching out to her. So she visits him at the vet's office, but she's embarrassed to find out that the text was intended for Heather in a scones versus bagel debate. And thankfully, everyone, Ted is team bagel. We do end the episode with him saying, "It was nice to see her," with a little smiley face emoji. And one last thing. Apparently, Roland has no shortage of barbecue pun-related aprons to prove how much of a grill master he is. And Johnny can't even make a burger. So that's our episode, Stuart.
I'm just going to put it out there really early. Do the puns put Roland in contention for MVP? I just want to know. Because I... Just, are you shutting that down that quickly?
Yes.
They were
funny. They were funny.
We're going to fall out on this podcast, Jessica, because you already you've thrown absolute like shade my way by like clearly saying that bagels are better than scones.
Because they are, yes.
We're going to fall out.
Have you had a good bagel? Like a proper New York bagel?
No, because I live in London. But I've had a good Brick Lane bagel, which is notorious for being the best bagel in the UK. So yeah.
Yeah, but the best bagel in the UK is like, oh, I went to a gas station and I got pizza and it was the best gas station pizza. Like it's still gas station pizza.
I reiterate, we're going to fall out. This podcast, Jessica.
I hope everyone's watching the video because the silence will be deafening if they're just listening to the audio.
If you're just listening to the audio, whenever there's silence, just imagine my jaw on the floor and just enraged. Yeah. This is outrageous.
Listen, I know I've not had a proper good scone. Like, I'm willing to admit that, okay? I know that is true. But like a bagel, here's the thing. The versatility of a bagel, because it's like, oh, you just want some butter? Good to go. Slap that on. Get on out of town. You want some cream cheese? Slather some of that on. But what about a bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel? Boom. Breakfast, Sammy. Like there's so many options.
Okay. Yeah. Fair play. As a generic item to have for breakfast, a bagel is most suitable. But a scone, when you really want a scone and you get a good one and it hits, I don't think they're comparable in any way, shape, or form. Well, I mean, firstly, why is the choice bagel or scone? I don't understand this because they're very diametrically opposed pieces of food.
I don't know, because that's what Heather was going to the bakery to get, I guess.
Okay, let's redirect this energy. What is Heather up to?
Heather sucks. We can confidently say we are anti-Heather. This podcast is an anti-Heather podcast, okay? Because truly that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand either, Stuart. Like, that shouldn't be the option. Is it like, do you want a Danish or do you want a scone? That makes sense.
Yes.
Like, because if you're going to ask if you want a bagel, like, it's like, no, do you want a bagel or French bread? Like, those are closer together.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather just needs to sort herself out, as does Ted, because when presented with an opportunity to say tackle the scones, he didn't use it. I'm outraged.
He's a bagel guy. He's a bagel
How do we
guy.
Get more puns out of Roland in this episode than Ted?
True. where do we want to start here? There's so much to talk through. Let's save the spiciness for a little later. I think we'll talk about the David Patrick of it all in a little bit. Do we want to talk about Johnny not knowing how to grill? Because it, as an American, it offends me. I feel like we are a grilling nation. You know, we talked about this last podcast and we actually got so much feedback on the salads of it all. But here's the thing. I will say I am accustomed to a gas grill. Okay. Not a charcoal grill. Charcoal grills are a pain in the ass. Right. Like there's so much work, and I don't know if it's just me, and everyone in the South is going to be turning this podcast off immediately. I don't want my food to taste like smoke. Like I just don't want it to taste that way.
Okay. I mean, it's a fair position to take. My rebuttal would just be, if you prefer a gas grill, aren't you just cooking outside? Like, what's the benefit of that then?
Okay, and here's where I will tell you. Number one, you're not doing dishes.
People.
It's educational. No dishes.
You have to clean it.
Yeah, you with the scrapey thing. You don't have to like clean it.
Okay. Yeah,
so you just scrape it. Number two, you put everything on there. You know what I mean? You got one spot. You're throwing your burgers. You're throwing your dogs. You're throwing your little side veggies and a little thingy. Everything is going on the grill. One section. Also, you're telling me. I know it's the middle of winter right now. Picture a nice warm day in July. I don't know what warm means to you because it's a different number. But a warm.
Anything above 10 degrees in the UK.
There you go. A warm, sunny day outside. You're standing in your backyard. You got a fenced-in backyard. The dogs are running. The birds are chirping. The sun is high in the sky. And you're just cooking up on that grill. It's a nice time. It's an ambiance thing. You know, it's a vibes thing.
It's an ambiance thing. No, listen, you're right. It is.
I'm a grill person. I'm a grill girl. I love to grill. I love having a grill. Charcoal grills are pains in the asses. Specifically, the one Roland has looks like it's been through it. That has a rusty bottom.
It does, but I appreciate the fact that he's managed to rescue it from what it was into what it became.
Yeah,
admittedly, they just got a new one. There's no way he actually was able to achieve that miracle of cleaning it to such a degree that he did. But I kind of like the versatility of a charcoal grill, and that you can just like shove it on, burn it. You burn away any of the dirt, any of the, like the horrible stuff, and then you just cook on it. It's like it's weirdly fussy in a lot of ways, but really unfussy in a lot of ways as well. And I do kind of like the ceremony of like a charcoal one, but it is such a faff.
It's a pain in the ass. Like, it's so much work to do with it. And it's hard to regulate the temperature on a charcoal grill, which, again, if I'm going to give Johnny any leniency here, a charcoal grill is a pain in the butt. However, it is not hard to cook sliders. It's not hard to tell when sliders are done. And I'll tell you when they're not done or when they're overdone is when they're black, right?
Yeah.
Those look like dry hunks of meat. Hockey pucks.
They look like charcoal had just made its way on top of the grill. And he was like, oh, is it done? I love the fact that he just didn't know. And Patrick, being as polite as he was like, oh, yeah, that one looks really good.
Yeah, that one.
And he didn't know. He didn't know. How? He's seen plenty of private chef cook.
It's very simple. And here's the other thing people make the mistake. I don't know a lot about cooking. I'll admit that right now. I do know a tad about grilling. With burgers, you don't want to flip them 100 times. No. You have one side, you flip it on the other side, and then it comes off the grill. That's it. So if you're flipping them a ton of times, you're doing something wrong, right? Mm-hmm. They looked bad. They looked awful. Now, of Roland's apron pun things, which is your favorite? We have license to grill, working grill, and grills just want to have fun.
Grills just want to have fun. Like, surely it's going to be that fun.
I working grill.
That was
funny.
I love them all, really. Like, I just love that he's clearly got one, loved it, and everyone's gone, okay, well, we're getting him this as a gift forever, like, more. Like, there's no way in which we can get him anything else. It's that kind of thing with, like, Christmas, where you tell, like, your parents, oh, you react really well to a present, and they get you the same thing every year for, like, the rest of your life. It's that kind of vibe. Of course he would go for those puns, and of course he would use it as a status thing of saying, okay, well, this is how good of a grill master I am. I have three aprons gifted to me.
Yeah.
Three.
And I love when Jocelyn shows up and she's like, did you tell him about the aprons? Like, this, if Jocelyn was like 10 or 15 years younger and this was a little bit more of a modern show, Jocelyn would have a cricket and would be making all of these aprons herself for Roland for every holiday. Oh, okay. Cricut is not. It is like a screen printing device. Our friend friend of the pod, Brenna, has one.
You could sublimate stuff on the.
Yeah. So I could see Jocelyn being a crafty queen and making these herself.
Do you think that Jocelyn is the one that's gifted him all three of the aprons?
1,000%, yes. Yes, of course. Because she's like, oh my God, he loves to grill. He's going to love this. Mm-hmm. And every single year she gets him one, and then he's come to expect it.
That's really endearingly sweet, in a way. Like, I know it's Roland, but it's like, that's really lovely.
I will say, as much as Roland gets on my nerves, I do appreciate that his partner is someone like Jocelyn, who like really does love him. Like, it's not, this isn't a tropey, like Family Guy, Simpsons, like dumb husband is paired with like super hot wife who is way better than him. So not that Jocelyn isn't hot, but like, you know what I mean? She loves him. She actually does really, really love him. It's not like you're so stupid and dumb and blah, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. Yeah. I just find their whole situation to be quite good. And I don't know, Roland in this episode came off quite well to me. I think because we'd already talked about this. Are we in Barcelona? Like, who does eat at 8 p.m., Johnny? What the hell?
That is so late. And we have definitely had this conversation on the podcast. But like, again, I'm like a 5 p.m., 6 o'clock eater. All right. I know it's early. I don't care. Like, I'm old. All right. That's the time I like to eat. 8 p.m., even in the summertime, that it's getting close to dark. At 8 p.m., you're grilling at 8 p.m. That is late. That is too late for dinner. What are we doing here? Like, seriously, are we in Barcelona? That's too late.
Yeah. We're not European, but we're old. So, like, you've got to get this wrapped up. Like, yes, come on, we got that time.
It feels like a rich person thing. Like, it feels like people eat at 9 p.m.?
Probably. I mean, like, they probably have naps during the day. They don't have to get up early, do they? They haven't got work in the next day. They've just, like, the kind of, like, Johnny was absolutely the kind of boss that would swan in at, like, 10, 11 a.m., if that, and, like, wouldn't have a need to get up early. So, of course, he'd be up late doing whatever.
Yeah. So, they're doing this whole barbecue. We had two salads that looked very white. They looked, like, so mayo-y. I thought they might have been, like, a like potato salad and macaroni salad, but like they needed more color and more veggies. Those didn't look very good in my opinion.
Yeah, but it was just a bowl of white is what I saw, and it didn't look great. I completely though gotta say, Stevie, the entire way through I was like, that's me, because every single barbecue I've ever been to has always been a slow affair where everyone takes their glacial time doing what they needed to. Like, the briquettes aren't lit until like you're already hungry, and then you've got to wait like another hour for them to get up to temp and then to cook everything on top of that. And I'm just there going, come on, let's move this along. Like, can we not mess around here, please, people?
Yeah, I would not like it. Famously, I don't like it when people hover around me when I'm cooking. Like, get out of my space, get out of my way. And I would be Stevie with like Johnny just like hovering over top. I'm like, get out of the way. Like, if you're not helping, leave, please.
Yeah.
Even if you're helping, honestly, leave. But yeah, that's the barbecue, and we'll get to the David and Patrick of it all. But first we have to talk about Alexis and the text. And
do we have to?
So embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
We've made many references on this podcast to the Scott Stotts episode of The Office.
Yeah.
I think this eclipses, like, I hated it, because how does she think that it's a thing? How?
She can't. She can't.
She's so, like, deluded.
Her brain is just like, I miss Ted. This must be him reaching out. It's 20 times worse. It's made 20 times worse by the fact that she goes to his office physically. Like, if she had just texted him back easily, just like a oopsie daisies sort of thing. But when she shows up, she's like, you like bagels too? It's like, oh God.
So cringe. I don't know why she believed it. What would you even reply to that message, even if like you didn't have the awkwardness of just turning up? Like, it's clearly not for you. Like, it's in response to something, surely. I love Alexis to pieces. I adore her. I think she's hilarious. She lost her fucking mind here. Like, she is so delusional.
And it's really bad. She's down bad, as the kids say. It's really awful, and I feel so bad for her. On the bright side, Ted did say, "Oh, I'm glad to see you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we haven't really talked much. Like, it's nice to see you." And then he texts her later, which we see buzzing on her phone. He did use an emoticon. That's a good sign, but. Yeah, it's just like embarrassing and sad and all the things we don't want for Alexis.
Yeah. So do you think, like, Ted accidentally texting Alexis when he meant to text Heather? That's the worst part of this for me, is the fact that, like, it wasn't just a butt dial. It wasn't just, oh, I randomly sent it to you and I meant to send it to sort of like some Joe Schmo. He was meant to text his other half, and he texted his ex who... Like, there's something there, right? Like,
subconsciously.
I will say that, yeah, like, Alexis is absolutely reaching in this scenario, and he absolutely didn't mean it. But subconsciously, there's something there, surely. Like,
he did text her at the end of the episode. Like, he did text her saying, oh, it was nice to see you today. He didn't have to do that. Like, no. On one hand, it's like, Ted, you gotta let her go. Like, he's naive, right? Like, he's extremely naive in that I don't even know if he realizes, like, what is going on, like, the extent of her feelings for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, a little messed up to, like, then once you realize, like, right, seeing her in person, he had to understand that, oh, she thought this was something that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. was excited by that. So then, like, I, on one hand, I'm, like, don't be texting her because, like, she needs the space to, like, move on away from you, you know?
Yeah. He absolutely, there's no way in which he didn't pick up that vibe at all because,
yeah,
Alexis can be a bit awkward at times and can be a bit weird, but there's no way he misread what she was angling for, and especially like his reaction when he finds out that like he did send it, and the like there was almost like a oh god I'm so sorry kind of thing because he kind of realizes how messed up it is in a way. So there's no way in which he doesn't know that he shouldn't be doing it, but he still does, which he is
still does it.
Oh, dangerous. Yeah. But I mean, F Heather. I don't care about her.
We hate Heather. Happens. She thinks bagels and scones are close enough. Like, that's not... Heather, we hate you, okay? That's it. Although I do want some of her goat cheese.
I was going to say, she did make a lovely quiche.
No, the lovely quiche. Yes. So that's the Alexis stuff. Let's talk through the Patrick and David of it all. So I have to ask you, because I'll jump to some feedback right away, because I want to talk about this with it in mind. Jared had said that, oh, no, like, are we about to get some LVP points for Patrick? Besides the obvious, I also don't respect him doing something like the cookie when David has specifically said that he doesn't want that. So how did you interpret the celebration cookie?
It's a fine line sometimes between doing something that someone clearly is uncomfortable with and sometimes pushing someone's buttons when you know that they're kind of, they like the playfulness of it. Like, I think that in this situation, I think Patrick is certainly kind of riding the right line of kind of playing David to like his certain peculiarities of the way in which he wants things done. Patrick finds it hilarious, for one thing, which I think probably pushes it over the line a little bit. But like, I think it's still within David's tolerance level for shenanigans. Like, he's still like, because I think if they were truly upset about it, I think David would absolutely articulate it. And I think they have that level of communication to understand that with each other. So I don't think he's gone too far with that just yet. But I mean, I kind of do subscribe to the constant teasing of people you love kind of mantra. Like, it's how I show love, is I'm horrible to people.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. Like, they've always had a teasing nature about their relationship. They've always been like that. And I think this is just a continuation of that. Now, it's a bit tricky because you're now pulling in his whole family because you're sending this cookie, assumingly, to the front desk. So everyone is seeing it. So that's kind of a lot. I do think, though, if Patrick didn't push the relationship forward a little at a time, I don't think David would. So this feels like Patrick trying, you know, to like move their relationship forward, move in the right direction. So I didn't have a problem with the cookie. But with the whole fiance situation, right? So like, it's not good. And I think part of the reason it's not good is because this is a big part of your past and your past relationships that you haven't discussed with David. And you know about Stevie, like, you know about all these other things. And I think the fact that David is so untrusting or like nervous to commit because of the past relationships he's had and how they've ended very poorly, I think omitting the truth is certainly not a good thing to be doing. Now, obviously, Patrick didn't expect his ex-fiance to show up in town, but I still think this is a conversation you should have had with David, right? Like the word, if it's a girlfriend, maybe that's one thing, Stuart, but like a fiance is kind of like a bigger deal. There was a proposal, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is that they've clearly had the conversations about pasts, or like, I mean, maybe not necessarily because
of they did.
No, they did. Yeah, because they had it in the Stevie apartment thing. Yeah. So like that came about.
And it was a perfect opportunity.
Exactly. I think there is, and not to like excuse it away, but I think there is an element of kind of this being Patrick's first like sort of gay relationship. So that there is a kind of dynamic of, I don't know, like maybe there's a sense of renewal that can come with a lot of things. Like there's a lot of dialogue around kind of people when they kind of realize their kind of queerness, they kind of experience almost like a second teenager, because they haven't quite experienced that sense of like playfulness in that space in their younger years. And so that maybe brings about an immaturity in how to deal with this, however. But I think Patrick is considerate enough to have thought that and kind of considered that. So I don't know where this has come from, Patrick. I think it's kind of really, there is like a full-on element. Like I can't get away from the fact that like Patrick has just kept this secret from David.
Yeah, and I think it's worse because like if he just had an ex-fiance, that's one thing. The fact that this ex-fiance has been texting him and trying to get back together with him for months,
yeah,
he has not said a single word about that to David, that to me is like the bigger deal. That's the bigger problem, is all of this has been going on and you haven't told me. And maybe if I'm trying to find reasons why Patrick wouldn't say anything, maybe he was concerned this would push David away, you know, like, yes. I don't know. It's certainly possible that's what was going on in his mind. But like, I still think you have a conversation with David. It's 10 times worse because you didn't say anything. And obviously no one's perfect. And like you said, this is for, you know, this is Patrick's first like gay relationship. And so, you know, he's operating a little blindly in that regard, but he is so caring and thoughtful. So it, to see, this is like a huge oversight, I think. And
yeah,
you know, it's not great. I mean, luckily what we get from them when David does find out and we have the conversation between the two characters, it doesn't, I don't know, you could tell me what you read into it, but it doesn't feel like an instant, like, we're done, don't talk to me. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, by the fact that, I mean, I did like David's kind of cliche reaction. And then Patrick being like, no, we need to talk about this. It's like, I know, that's just what you say.
It's kind of like,
I kind of like that there was, I mean, of course the writing's going to throw in the joke and stuff, but between them, there was a little bit of humor between them in the moment. But you've also got Patrick wanting to communicate and David wanting to communicate. The pair of them are wanting to talk it out, which is the best thing for this, because I think the death nail in any situation like this that ever happens in like a hiccup in a relationship is just the communication stops, because someone's like, no, that's a barrier I'm not willing to kind of like, and that's a hurdle I'm not willing to kind of jump over because of like this. That's just a wall that is up now and you're not going to get past it anymore. Go away. And so for them to want to talk and keep the dialogue going, I think that's promising for it. I think obviously getting David a big plate of food and 6 sliders really helped. I love the fact that he asked for like 1 slider and he goes, well, maybe 2. And then Patrick, of course, brought him 6, which.
And then he's just like, everything. Oh, and there were some sides I didn't pay attention, but just give me a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah. It's, and I also think it's helped by the fact that, again, Patrick is so supremely sweet and has a high level of emotional intelligence. He just knows, like, and I'm not, none of this ever feels like he is trying to do something. He's trying to be like manipulative or he has ulterior motives. He's just speaking the way he feels. And I love his line where he says, I spent most of my life not knowing what right was supposed to feel like. And then I met you and everything changed. You make me feel right. Like, it is so sweet and understandable that I feel like us as the viewers immediately forgive Patrick. Like, I don't know about you. By the end of the scene, I was like, it's fine. He's okay. It's okay. I forgive him. Like, you're okay, Patrick. I know it was wrong what you did, but I love you anyway. Also, he looks so good in a blue shirt and jeans. Like, I can't get over. I don't know what it is. I think it's the simplicity of the outfit. Like, he's a blue jean guy, and then he just wears like a very light blue button down and just something about it. I can't, you know?
I mean, dude wears the jeans well. I'm just going to say that.
The donk was donking.
It was very donking, yes.
it was donking over there.
I don't know if I go to the extent of like fully forgiving him straight away. I'm more inclined to say, look, dude, you messed up. I'm willing to give you a bit of a pass and stuff. You're clearly a sweet guy. I don't think, like you said, it's not out of manipulation. It's not out of like a willingness to deceive David. It comes about from awkwardness, embarrassment, perhaps even being swept up with David and just like not wanting anything to kind of rock the boat a bit. Like, the whole thing is very fragile with David, what with kind of David being quite a character to like deal with and the whole situation being a bit new and strange. And so like, I'm willing to give him more lenience. Not fully convinced on the whole forgiveness thing just yet, but we'll get there. I'm sure we will.
Especially when David is like not even inviting him to like the family barbecue that he specifically was supposed to be invited to. Like, at that point, if you're Patrick, you're like, well, I really don't want to rock the boat now because I'm just barely getting to him to agree to like let me get closer to his family. The point where his family is giving Patrick nicknames. And I almost came in here calling you Stu just to see what would happen. I just love we're not doing Pat. And then while you're later, we're not doing Pat.
Yeah, we're not. There are some people that Pat suits. I've got a friend, Patrick. We call him Paddy, Pat, everything. He's wonderful, but he suits like the little nicknames.
Patrick
in Schitt's Creek is a Patrick. Yeah.
Just like David is a David, not a Dave.
Yeah. Oh god, can you imagine Dave?
He's not Dave.
Dave? No. That's just doesn't fit. Wrong. That's just really wrong, actually.
Patrick is Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, some people I think suit certain nicknames. If my mother heard you calling me Stu, she'd be livid. She hates people calling me Stu. So much so that like she used to like have a go at my aunt back in the day whenever she'd call me it, and they'd all go, Stu Pot. And then my mum would be like, don't call him that. And I was like, shut up.
It's incredible. I don't know. I think I forgive Patrick so quickly just because he says all the right things. Like, maybe I'm easy. Maybe it is just that easy to get me to forgive someone. But like, I also think it's further complicated by the fact that I assume his ex-fiance he is not out to. So like, obviously there are like very complicated parts of this that you wouldn't see if he was dating a woman. I think it would be a little bit less complicated. So I understand that aspect of it. And maybe that's also why I'm a little bit more forgiving of Patrick. But it's also just like, I want to forgive him. Like, he's so supremely sweet. Like, he's never done anything to intentionally hurt David. He's like bonding with Johnny at the grill. It's just like, you know, that whole part was so cute. And I really did love, as much as Moira doesn't necessarily always have her finger on the pulse of what's going on in general, she does have a very long-standing relationship with Johnny, and so she can speak on romantic relationships. And her giving David a little bit of a pep talk at in the town council building was so sweet. Like, I just love that. Like, she just wants him to be open to love. Like, be open to what Patrick is offering you. Don't push it away because you're afraid.
I've come to really appreciate these little nuggets of wisdom that Moira drops whenever you're least expecting it. Like, for this, especially with her, firstly, the outfit and the opening, like, immediately I was like, oh, Moira's going to be a force to be reckoned with in this episode. Yeah. I can just get that vibe from how she's dressed alone. But then, like, she has the moment with David in the town council building, and like, she tells him he sees you for all that you are. Like, she just drops that such a good nugget of wisdom and allows David to, like, just say, look, this is a serious one. This isn't a fling. This isn't a thing. This guy sees you for all that you are, flaws included, mm-hmm. and is still here willing to send you a silly-ass cookie on your four-month anniversary. Like, David, wake up and see this guy for what he is. Appreciate him and his guitar. Like, he's coming to the barbecue.
The guitar. Again, her saying, like, the line she uses is, you have the opportunity to climb out of the quicksand that was your past and stand firmly in the present. Let us celebrate that. Like, there's so much there. It's both, this guy loves you. He loves you, warts and all. And he actually does, and he wants to be there for you. And you should both let him be there for you, accept that this guy is a great guy and not some horrific incident from your past. And also accept that your family is around and wants to meet him. And whereas, you know, she even admits, like, we weren't around for your past relationships. Like, we just weren't present for them. And now we are. And so we should be able to spend time with him at a barbecue. It's very sweet. And again, I just have to point out, like, imagine season one Moira saying this. Like, you just can't. You can't picture her saying any of this.
Never. I think that is why the writing is so brilliant for this, is because it makes the sting of that unveiling of the kind of, like, of Rachel to be so much harsher, because, like, David even says it, like, still refers to himself as damaged goods. And is that quicksand is, like, clawing at him and dragging him down in that moment. And it's not just this sense that he's betrayed by Patrick. He's betrayed by the advice that he's been given by his family. And so it comes with an additional sting. And we would never have got that. Like, this is, it's in one way a thing to celebrate, because obviously it's not just Patrick. It's David and the family. Like you said, it's so much more than that. And so it makes it a bigger thing to contend with when it does happen. I don't want to, like, dwell on that and it be like a downer, but it kind of is a little bit.
Yeah. It's so good. Again, they could have made this more dramatic, sensational, whatever, but they don't. They very quickly get to Patrick apologizing and these little nuggets and David saying, like, yeah, you made me trust you. Like, you told me it was okay to trust you when I was perfectly fine not. And that's why it hurts so much more. So, I mean, yeah, they've hit a bump in a road. You know, they've hit a little snag. David is going to, help himself to six sliders, the cookie, and some ice cream. I mean, who hasn't been there, you know?
Yeah.
But I do like this episode for, even though they give us a little bit of a snag between Patrick and David, it doesn't feel like it is done in a way just to be dramatic. Like, it's purposefully done, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think of it as being the hurdle that is necessary to show that a love is going to endure. Like, it seems like a very much a kind of, like, well, that's the extent of kind of how bad it's going to get. So it's all kind of gravy from here on out. So maybe, I don't know, that's what they're kind of setting up, but at least that's the vibe that I got from it. I think I also love the fact that the whole, like, it's not, like you said, that it's not about the drama for it, and it's not salacious just for salacious sake. And I think, again, a lesser show that doesn't pay, like, good writing for, like, queer stories would have had Rachel turn up and be like, oh, you're with a guy now, and it'd be like this overblown thing. It was just like a normal and natural thing. She didn't even bat an eyelid. David's gender didn't come into it at all. Rachel was just like, oh, you're here, and then Patrick was like, oh, you're here. Like, it was such a non-thing. And I, like, it's not to say that I don't want queer issues addressed in the show, but I love the fact that it's there, it's present, but it's not the focus. Like, it's not the queerness that is the salaciousness. Right. It's just an element. And it's so refreshing, because you never get that on other TV. It's so really crappy.
Yeah, it's really, really lovely. The way they handle everything, like you said, and I do like that Patrick, he says to Rachel, like, we're going to have to talk, like, but he follows David first, you know, that is his priority.
Oh my gosh.
Which is
also we'll talk later. He's the focus for me now because obviously number one priority. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Let's get into some feedback here. I already mentioned Jared's feedback. Ashley said, definitely not eating off that grill in its current state. Which, fair enough. Looked pretty rusty and gross.
Yeah. Seeing Ashley's pace of catching up on the show has been quite a joy of just seeing these kind of like random episode numbers and spoilers turning up. But yeah, the grill, that was in a shocking state. But like, it's a testament to a charcoal grill, I'm just going to say, is that they can be redeemed with just a bit of scraping and just burn everything else off. It's all good.
Yeah. Aaron, I think, feels similarly to me. I feel like Patrick's little speech would have worked on me, and I was shouting at my TV to David to relax and shut up and just love Patrick. Maybe she liked the jeans too. Maybe it was the jeans.
I mean, who didn't?
I can't help it that he is an attractive person. You know, I'm only human, and he has a buttery voice. Like, come on.
That's not where I thought. He has a butt. Tory voice.
Exactly.
That donk was donking.
The donk be donking. All right, let's get into our ratings here. MVPs and LVPs this episode are rough. Stuart, who was simply the best for you?
I am gonna give it to Moira this week.
Okay.
For reasons we'll get into shortly in a second. If you know what segment's coming up, you'll know why. But also, the nugget of wisdom was just so, so necessary. She didn't really have any like real, like massively funny lines, but I think that wisdom was absolutely needed by David. So yeah, I'm going to Moira. Plus, everyone else was awful in this episode.
I really did struggle to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. Because like you, I was like, Moira does a great job. Like, she does have those nuggets of wisdom. And I loved that. I'm doing something a little controversial. It'll make sense in a second. I'm going to give my MVP point. Patrick is simply the best. And it is... It'll make sense in a second! It is pretty much solely for the line of... that he says of it did nothing felt right until I met you. I forget the line exactly now because I've already talked it through, but it's I will never not be impressed by how Patrick is able to simply state how he is feeling. I take 20,000 sentences to say what he says in one line. Like, it is absolutely incredible, and he says it with such... like, he's so genuine, and the way he says it is so simple. And I don't mean that as like offensive. It's just the way he so simply states what he feels. It's bold. And I love that about this character. And for all the people raging at me, calm down for a second.
Okay, I'll calm.
Because I'm also going to give Patrick the disgruntled token point.
That's such a cheat.
The thing is, I think he does earn both, though. Like, I think, like, the way he handles the aftermath is lovely, I think the fact that he didn't tell David is such a faux pas. Like, it is such a mistake when you have a flight risk like David, like an anxious ball of energy. Again, I have compared Patrick to my husband because I am the anxious ball of energy. And not having the information and feeling like you're lied to is going to create such mistrust. Like, it is such a big oversight on his part. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do, because you know what? I want to.
Fair play. We've said it before. It's our podcast. We'll do whatever the hell
we want. Exactly.
Although it does make me want to go back and give Roland my MVP just to annoy you.
Listen, you can do whatever you want, but...
I was really tempted. I'm not going to lie. That's how far apron based puns will get you. For my LVP, I have to give it to Patrick.
Of course,
Ted was a contender. I'm not gonna lie, Ted was up there.
Oh no,
because Ted's doing what he knows he should be doing. I mean, Bagels. We'll leave them out of this. Don't try and influence the die roll after I've thrown it. But no, I think Ted knows what he's doing. I'm hoping that it's in virtue of other things down the line. A boy can hope. But yeah, Patrick ordinarily is a really great communicator. And this one was terrible because, I mean, if you don't tell people things, that's not good communicating. So fix it, buddy. Get a bigger cookie. But yeah, that was a good cookie. I will say.
The fact that David said he ate half of it on the way over there, I was like, okay, listen, I have a sweet tooth, all right? I get it. I love sweets. But half of that ginormous cookie, like, you're going to get a stomach ache. That's a lot of cookie.
Big enough mug of tea, and I reckon I could polish the whole thing off.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous. All right. We do, as you alluded to earlier, have a wig to discuss. Look at this screen grab. Is it not perfect? Is it not the best?
The best. I don't think anything really encapsulates just Moira's just absolute above everything kind of mindset towards everything. She's just that smirk, that kind of look to it. I love it. Yep. So
with
so
the
good.
Glasses, yeah. The wig is like a very red, deep dark red. I don't really know any other way to put it.
Matches the lipstick.
Matches the lipstick, has some bangs. She's got some massive sunglasses on. I mean, it's a barbecue wig, you know?
What makes this a barbecue wig? Like,
it's a wig she would wear to a barbecue.
Well, I can
maybe
that's apparent.
Maybe she was like, I want my hair to look like the ketchup.
Possibly. That's the only thing I can think that she actually would make that choice for.
Also, one other thing, not that I have to defend myself, but I will. One other thing on a reason to give Patrick a simply the best point is that he knew how David liked his burgers.
Oh, medium yeah.
Rare. That was great. So sweet. Yeah. Medium rare for David, even though none of those were medium rare. All of them were overdone. Yeah. But still. It was very cute.
And also, yeah, serving like him before Stevie could get her mitts on anything. She was grabbing.
Because she did the work. She cooked them.
She was hangry. Relatable, but she absolutely was. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. All right. Well, it's time. Yet again, we're here to tier rank this episode into our tiers. Hot shit, full bouquet. Love that journey for me. Ew, David, and shit out of luck. We have a fairly even tier list currently. Stuart, any inclinations as to where the barbecue belongs?
I feel like it should be high. Okay. I would possibly put a case to put this in hot shit because as an episode, while it's not the most enjoyable thing to see Patrick and David having a bit of a tiff and to like for things to fall out the way they have, I rewatched this episode 3 times this week and loved every single second of it. It's such a good episode and it flies by. I think this is one of the stronger like episodes, like not particularly for like a particular scene, but just generally it's a well-written piece of things, something to watch.
Okay. I'm trying to parse out my feelings on... Okay, because it's certainly not one of the funnier episodes, which is fine. Not every episode has to be because it does have the heart. It does have the warm, fuzzy moments. We have the Moira and David stuff, which I think is very strong. Obviously, everything going on with David and Patrick, again, not fun, but important and true to life. The barbecue stuff is it's okay. It's all right. It's not bad. The Johnny Roland barbecue stuff. The Alexis and Ted stuff, though, I think is where I struggle to think of it as like an elite episode. I think that stuff in particular holds it back because it's more awkward than it is funny. And obviously there's a fine line there. I think if I was going to put it somewhere, I think I would probably put it in full bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have very strong arguments for hot shit.
No, I think you've made a really good point about the whole Ted and Alexis of it all. I think it does drag it down a little bit. Like, I don't mind a bit of awkward humor, but I will say that every single time I did watch it, that was the one bit that I was still hiding behind the a cushion with, because I was just like, yeah. I can't deal with that.
It's too much. Alexis's outfit is just like, I don't mean to be rude, but like, also, I don't like it. It's like, sometimes she goes a little too boho, and this was like a smidge too boho for me.
I can see that. Yeah.
Okay, so if we're going to put in Full Bouquet, do we want it at the top of Full Bouquet, above Rip, Moira Rose, and Asbestos Fest?
Oh, Asbestos Fest was really funny.
So was Rip, Moira Rose.
Oh my god. Maybe
the problem is those just are funnier, but also like...
Yeah. Maybe just in the middle.
Let's just throw it in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's meant to be a tier. It's not meant to be a ranking.
It's a tier.
All right, it's a tier this time, everyone. We're not ranking.
Yes, just forget everything we've said previously over the past three seasons. We have a full bouquet. I mean, season four is popping off, you know. Mm-hmm. Look at this. This is a great tier list. Find us on YouTube.
Solid.
Look at it to look at the tier list. Yeah. This was a great episode. Like, it's a tough one because obviously it's like mom and dad are fighting, you know, like you don't want that, but also it's just like very lovely to see Patrick explain his feelings to David so clearly. I will never tire of seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's it.
Do you want to know what next week's episode title is?
I do.
Season 4, episode 8, The Jazza Guy.
The Jazz. Okay, someone's joining the Jazz Girls. Who could it be? Mm-hmm.
Is it a new character or is it an existing character?
Maybe. Okay.
Okay.
Jocelyn, pregnant. Haven't talked about that in a fair bit.
Right.
Feeling sick, maybe. Can't attend the Jazz Girls. Okay. Who has to fill in? Our boy Roland. Roland's the Jazz Guy. I'm calling it. Done.
Okay. Is he a good singer?
Imagine if he was. Imagine if he's got the voice of an angel.
What if he does? What
that
if he
would
does?
Be incredible.
I'm trying to think if we heard him sing when he was staying in the motel room next door. I don't. I think he just blasted the song. I think he was just playing the song. Yeah. I have a feeling that like Roland's favorite music, because he loves a strong female. You know, he loves Aaron Brockovich. He loves The Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm. I feel like by Moira.
Yeah, I think he's like a Whitney Houston. He's like a belt ballad kind of fan, I think.
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. Like he had that old like VH1 Divas special that was always on in the 90s. Like he just watches that on repeat.
I also for some reason can just picture him screaming Jesus Take the Wheel as he drives.
Yes.
It just feels like it fits.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah, I think it fits. But that'll be next week, The Jazza Guy. So stay tuned, everyone. Of course, if you haven't had enough of us and you want more, go listen to Look for the Light. It's much more of a downer as a show, but it's still the two of us chatting about it. So you could bet there's going to be some silly moments. So go check out that podcast as well. And Stuart, anything else we should be pointing people to?
Oh, anything else? Just the socials, maybe. Just come and harass us on there.
Subscribe to us on YouTube. You know the deal.
Put in the feedback. We love reading people's feedback out. It's one of my favorite things is when people send in their opinions on stuff and getting your takes on the episodes. So yes, podcast@talkingshit.com if you want to email in. Or just send us a DM or something.
Yeah, do it. So we'll be back next week with season 4, episode 8. Until then, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.